We're joined in studio now by Senate District 23 candidates, the incumbent Gene Dornick and the challenger Brandon Lawhead. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us here in our candidate forum.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to start with opening statements. We will start with Gene Dornick. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be here. Thank you, KUS. Thank you to those that are listening out on the radio. My name is Gene Dornick, first-term senator. I've been serving for 2 years, and it's truly been an honor and a privilege to serve. Let's give a brief bio. I grew up in a dairy farm over by Preston, so I got 20 years on the farm. Went to school right here for vocational school for carpentry right here in Austin. Got into the home building just a little bit, residential, and switched to commercial. Joined the Carpenters Union in Rochester, went through the apprenticeship program. Loved the work, would have stayed there for my whole career. 2009 rolled around, got laid off like a lot of other tradespeople and just hardworking Minnesotans and Americans that got laid off. Started a family business, and that's what I do yet today, so I'm a small business owner. How I got involved in politics, well, as we had a large family, I didn't introduce my family. I've got 12 kids, 8 girls and 4 boys, and been married to Vicki for 37 years. And with that responsibility, unemployment wasn't gonna cut it. So that was the part where the starting a business. But how I got into politics with the kids, raising those kids, I would go up to St. Paul and for many years, showing the Capitol, and got to meet and build a relationship with those that served up there. And 10, 12 years later, one of the reps was retiring, and he encouraged me to run. And I just like, I think the guy was qualified. And he says, guys like you, you got the agriculture background, you're a small business owner. And he said, I just encourage you to, he wanted me to run in his place because he was retiring. And I took that serious, and I didn't run right then, but in 2016, then I ran. And it was a great experience. And here in 2020, we won, and as I said, it's been a great privilege to serve for the last 2 years.
Thank you, Gene Dornick. And Brandon Lawhead, your opening statement, sir.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank Mr. Dornick for coming here. I want to thank him for his service. One issue that's in America right now is that, you know, we have people who, the two political parties, frankly, are kind of blowing each other up. And I don't think that that is what politics should be. And so I'm running to fundamentally change that narrative. Mr. Dornick and I have disagreements on issues, but that doesn't mean that he's a bad person or I'm a bad person, because we have differences on issues. And that is the fundamental basis of my candidacy, which is called Let's Meet in the Middle. We need a lot more with respect to being forthright to the voters about what the issues are, so that the voters can understand what they're voting for, what they're not voting for. And we need a representative that's going to listen, respond, and act for the citizens, regardless of political party affiliation. I am endorsed by the Democratic Party, but I enjoy, you know, a significant amount of Republican support from friends who understand me, who know me. I believe that my time is now because of my, I guess, middle and fiscal conservative, social liberal basis in viewpoint of America. I'm from Austin. I grew up in Austin High School and graduated from Austin High School. I went to St. Olaf College, graduated with honors from St. Olaf, went to law school at William Mitchell College of Law. I've practiced in this community for the past 25 years, arguing cases at the appellate courts in the Minnesota Supreme Court. So I do believe that I have the qualification and the critical thinking that is going to be required for this position. One of the big issues in America, frankly, is the rule of law. And that is something that I think I can bring to the table, because I think that our judiciary is under attack. So as we talk about things today, I think that we need to keep a mindset of differences in issues, And I would ask everybody to consider the idea of let's meet in the middle.
All right. Thank you, Brandon Lawhead. Thank you both for your opening statements. With those out of the way, I'd like to get to as many of the important issues as we possibly can. So if we can limit our answers to about 60 seconds, 2 minutes, I won't keep a timer, but if you have that in mind, I would greatly appreciate that. We want to get to as many of these topics as we can. Brandon Lawhead, let's stay with you. On the issue of taxation generally at the state level, in terms of state tax revenues, are there any specific areas of that taxation, in your opinion, that should be increased or decreased?
Well, I'm a small business owner, and actually I'm a landlord of rental properties. And, you know, one of the issues, frankly, is property taxes. It's a big concern, and I know it's a big concern for even farmers down here. There's a realistic solution, and there's one of that, and that, of course, is that we need to increase our tax base. If the landlords and the landowners are the only ones that are, you know, going to be, you know, providing tax income, we need to consider that. Well, that means attracting new industry. That's one issue. As far as, you know, tax increases, we just have what I call the Gene Dornick tax increase. And that is where we are now having a referendum on the school because we had state funding from the budget surplus for our schools. $2.7 million was going to come here to the surplus. And Mr. Dornick played some political games on that, walked away from that so that we could, you know, have this stress in the election. And that is a problem I have with his candidacy and, frankly, with the way he did that. So that's a big issue. And now we have the choice of the kids or property tax increases. And that choice should not be before the voters.
All right. Thank you, Brandon Lawhead. Obviously, Gene Dornick will give you a chance to respond. I'll reframe the question. Of the state's tax revenues, are there any specific areas of taxation that, in your opinion, should be increased or decreased?
Absolutely. That was what we went there to do. We had a surplus, and that is a sign that we've been taxed too much. So top priority with that was eliminating Social Security tax on our seniors. We're just one of a few states that still do that. So number one, that was key for our tax package. Number two was we are in the lower tier. We were going to lower that so then everyone would get a tax relief in their check week after week, month after month, year after year. So those are the two keys that we were going to give tax relief. And there was some other issues with the property tax. We were going to do an ag tax credit also. As far as the my opponent said about what he said, totally inaccurate. We didn't walk away from anything. And if we had a $1 billion for the cross subsidy tax that's mandated by the federal government to take care of disability children, federal mandate put on the local schools. Austin having almost a $6 million a year that they have to pull out of the general fund to pay for that. Which is, if that would have passed, which was in the education bill that the Senate proposed, almost $1 billion for the tax subsidy or cross subsidy throughout the state. So that's what we were going to do with it. I'm not even sure what my opponent's talking about, but that would have taken care of that. And I'm hoping that we can still take care of that in January.
All right. Thank you, Gene Dornick. I would like to move on to other issues here. Staying with you, Gene Dornick, agriculture is clearly an important part of our district. What issues facing farmers today and on the horizon do you think should be addressed by the legislature?
Well, it's really great to see the farmers out in the field harvesting their crop. And I had opportunity to ride in combine, enjoyed conversation. And some of those things came up. And mandates, regulations. This is a grain farmer. I've also talked to livestock and pig producers. Again, it's the heavy hand of government, state government, and not listening to the farmers. So that's one. Other things are the California car emissions. That's a concern. Why are we taking California emissions here in Minnesota? we should bring it before the legislators, talk about it, debate about it, and have our, you know, have that conversation, not go through rulemaking to push that through. There's a few other ones that one concern is not allowing foreign corporations or foreign entities to be purchasing our ag land. And there's others, but that's kind of the top and issues are the regulations at the state.
Okay, thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Gene Dornick. Same question to you, Brandon Lawhead. Agriculture, clearly an important part of our district. What issues facing farmers today and on the horizon do you think should be addressed by the legislature?
Well, I already talked about the issue of property taxes, and I think that's a big one. But actually, this is a time where Mr. Dornick and I are going to agree on this car emissions issue. I just think that, you know, this fossil fuel issue versus electric and everything that's coming there, I think that the market should ferret that out more. And if the government is going to get involved in this, then we need to have some sort of a tax incentive. You know, if you buy a truck now, you get to depreciate that truck on your taxes aggressively. So we got a lot of farmers with big tractors, and those are worth a lot of money. If we're going to make them convert to electric, then we need to give some pretty major tax incentives, because a farmer is going to buy, just like when I bought my truck, I had a plan of, okay, I'm going to own this for 20 years, you know. And so I think that that's something we got to think about. But I personally think the market should take control of that issue when we let that do that more organically.
Okay, Brandon Lawhead, thank you. We'll stay with you. The state currently has a $7 billion budget surplus, approximately. What, if anything, should be done with this funding over the next term if you are elected?
Well, again, we mentioned this previously, and I would encourage people to go to the TV debate, of the KSMQ TV debate, where Mr. Dornick straight on said that what was in the budget surplus proposal was what he would agree to. That is where I'm at. And again, this comes back to my candidacy, was why isn't the deal getting done? Either A, Mr. Dornick is not being effective and he's not getting deals done for the district, or B, he's playing games. Either way, I think that's a problem. He had a challenger in his primary named Lisa Hansen. Ms. Hansen was saying, hey, I'm trying to get a hold of you about small business issues and you're not being responsive. She was very upset about that. She brings up a good point. You know, the state shut down her restaurant, and that's an issue where he needs to go out there and he needs to make it work. I would just say I've been in this for 4 months, okay? I started in April, so whatever that is, 5 months, whatever we are right now. I've already had, you know, a private luncheon with the governor. I'm just starting this. You see Mr. Dornick's signs, they say career politician. That's on his website. I'm a career politician. I've been doing this for just a short period of time. I'm already having private meetings with the governor. I can get deals done because I got the connections.
All right, Brandon Lawhead, thank you. Gene Dornick, obviously give you a chance to respond. I'll reframe the original question. The state of Minnesota currently has a $7 billion budget surplus, approximately. What, if anything, should be done with this funding over your next term if you're reelected?
So we kind of talked about the tax relief. And also there is, we had some crisis that we want, funding that we wanted to deal with, and that would be our long-term care nursing home. That was a bill that we had that would address that and help in that. Because it was truly a crisis area. So we did want to invest in our seniors and our most vulnerable. Another one was mental health. That is a critical also. And we did actually invest $95 million in a tax, in a bill that we did get that through. As far as the other one would be, I would like to see, as I was on the bonding committee, we saw the infrastructure of wastewater treatment plants. So many of them around the state are in need of replacement, and bonding is just not gonna cut it. So I would like to plan ahead and get some of that investment for some of those wastewater treatment plants throughout the state.
All right, thank you, Gene Dornick. Staying with you, to what extent do you think Minnesota should make it a legislative priority to be a state where business can relocate to or start in? What are some things the legislature can do to foster business development? Gene Dornick.
Well, it's as being endorsed by the NFIB and the Minnesota Chamber and a small business owner myself, it's high priority. And with the, it goes back to regulations, mandates, and tax, business tax, making it friendly. We have to compete with the border states. So not only are we competing for business, but also our workforce. We're losing our seniors to some other states, and we're also losing some of our young people. We've lost many because of that reason, the climate of our taxes, both for personal and business. So we need to make a friendlier climate for both.
All right. Thank you, Gene Dornick. Brandon Lawhead, same question to you. To what extent do you think Minnesota should make it a legislative priority to be a state where businesses can relocate to or start in? And what are some things the legislature can do to foster business development?
Well, Minnesota right now has a AAA rating, and we have the lowest unemployment in the country, I believe. So, number one, things are, you know, there's some really great things to build upon there. You know, I think as far as the climate that we can have, I actually think that we have a good climate. Mr. Dornick, you know, previously in a campaign speech had said that he wants to reduce workers' compensation protection for workers. And I strongly disagree with that. I think that workers need protection. And I've been working in the workers' compensation field for 25 years as an attorney. So I don't want to go there. I do think taxes are critical. But I think one thing that I heard even in the prior debate, I want to be clear on. I think, you know, the less government interference we have in business, in bringing business here, the better in many ways. I don't think that the government should be get into bringing in retailers, for example. I think we've got, like, for example, right here in Austin, Minnesota, we have Astrup Drug. Chris and Dan Astrup, I used to work for them when I was in high school. A fantastic employer in this community. So I don't want to bring in a Walgreens to compete with them. They're giving jobs. They're doing that. They did it the hard way. They saved their money. They ran a great business. Their dad was a fantastic businessman, Len Astrup. Learned a ton from him when I was working there. And so, you know, we need to let business grow on its own. Now, that being said, there are certain what I would call anchor tenants, the Mayo Clinic, Hormel. Hormel Institute, for example, you know, they had a cryo microscope bonding issue that they wanted done, and the Hormel Foundation was going to pay 50% of it. Mr. Dornick didn't support that. And I think that's a problem because we need those jobs here for those types of things. So I think as far as business is concerned, I think government getting out of the business market as much as possible is actually the best thing.
All right, Brandon Lawhead, thank you for that. I do want to move on to other issues, many that we probably won't have time to get to, but I want to move on to an issue that affects a lot of people in our district, that, of course, public education. State currently funds each student in Minnesota with $6,800 per pupil as of this year. That would amount to a little over half of the funding used per student at Austin Public Schools, for example, about 54%. Brandon Lawhead, a question for you. Is that level of state funding adequate, or should the state take on more or less?
Well, I think from what I heard from the director of finance, it's more around $10,000, is my understanding. But look, I step back from this and I say, America's the land of opportunity. I don't want the government interfering with business, but I do want the government to give everybody a fair playing field. And that means public education. Respectfully, I don't think that Mr. Dornick supports public education. And that's something I am a big supporter of. My wife is the director of community education. And so I do think that the state can do more with regards to public education and to fund that fully, to give everybody a shot. You know, America, the people that really move America are people that are going from low to middle or middle to upper. And that is something that we can do, is give everybody a fair shot.
Brandon Lawhead, thank you for that. Gene Dornick, same question to you. The state currently funds each student in Minnesota with $6,800 per pupil as of this year. That would amount to a little over half of funding used per student at Austin Public Schools, for example, 54%. Is that level of state funding adequate, or should the state take on more or less of the funding?
Well, before I answer that, I want to just speak to the teachers, the superintendents, school board members, principals, all those that are teaching our kids. And I do support public education. I've talked to superintendents, principals, teachers, school board members. I've heard their issues. I've heard their concerns. So I don't appreciate putting words in my mouth that aren't true. But to the question, the budget is $21 billion, approximately 40% of the total budget, state budget, is public education. And I appreciate that. I support that. But what we do need to do is look at things that are working and continue those. Things that aren't working, let's not do those. Let's reform. Let's target things that are, like I say, working. The other thing that in the education bill in 2021 of the funding, the $21 billion, there was 80 to 90 mandates. Mandates cost money. They cost our local schools money. As I've talked about, the cross subsidies costing Austin Public School almost $6 million. So the state government needs to be careful not to mandate. If they're going to mandate it, they need to fund it. So that's a big concern that I have, is those things that they're pushing for that don't help our schools. So I'll just stop there.
Great.
My minute's up.
Thank you, Gene Dornick, for that. Shifting gears, as of the 1st of July, products containing a certain amount of THC can now be manufactured, distributed, and sold in Minnesota. Similar votes regarding the recreational use of cannabis have passed at least one body of the legislature fairly recently. Gene Dornick, we'll start with you. Would you support the legalization of cannabis or marijuana for recreational use?
This is something I've been consistent on, and it's not at this time. As a public servant, public safety is very important to what our job is. And so we don't have the test to be able to see if somebody is influenced by marijuana, cannabis, or recreational marijuana. So that is a concern. So safety's on the roads, safety on the job site. And then to protect our children, because we know it's not good for those that are underage. So those are three concerns I have. But I'm open to the conversation, but I want law enforcement there. I want those with our substance abuse counselors and mental health. I want those professionals in this conversation to hear their thoughts, concerns, but I shared some of mine.
Okay, thank you, Gene Dornick. Brandon Lawhead, same question to you. Would you support the legalization of cannabis or marijuana for recreational use?
I think the reality is that's what's taking place throughout the United States of America. And then it comes down to, you know, are we going to, as a government, start to regulate this, start to make sure that it's produced correctly, and so on. Alcohol is legal. Marijuana is similar in that regard. But that being said, I would never advise a kid to use it. I don't use it. But I don't drink alcohol either. I just don't think drugs or alcohol are a productive thing. I would tell people to get out and enjoy life through music, fishing, the outdoors, etc. I would just, you know, there was a thing, and Mr. Dornick can address this, you know, the Green Party, when he ran against Dan Sparks, the person that was doing that apparently was from Hayfield, which is Mr. Dornick's, you know, home place. And so I don't know if that friend of his was part of that or not, but that's an issue that I kind of wondered about.
Gene, I will give you a chance to respond if you like. Otherwise, we can move on.
I don't even know what he's talking about, so let's move on.
All right, let's move on. We will keep it here with Brandon Lawhead, and a much broader, an issue of much more significance in terms of the number of people it affects in Minnesota. Brandon Lawhead, what changes, if any, should be made to Social Security in Minnesota?
Well, it shouldn't be taxed. Let's remember that in the budget agreement that Mr. Dornick and the Republicans walked away from, that the Social Security tax is going to be eliminated. And I agree with that. And So that is probably the big thing that I think regarding Social Security.
Okay. Gene Dornick, same question to you. Any changes that should be made to Social Security?
It's a federal program, so the only thing that we could do as a state is to stop taxing it. And that's what we did. And to educate my opponent, since he wasn't there, I'll just educate him. So we passed an $8.3 billion tax relief package that had this in there. It had some other things. Passed it. The House took it up, and we got an agreement with the $4 billion. Had a press conference on it. It was signed by the tax chairs of both the House and the Senate. And tax bills and bonding bills originate in the House. And I don't know, maybe you could ask the governor why he didn't let the House pass that, because it was never passed. So I can't walk away from something that I can't vote on. So did not walk away from it. It was never passed at the House.
All right. Thank you, Gene Dornick. We'll stay with you. The issue of abortion, always a national political topic, but a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision has brought renewed debate on that issue. It is protected in Minnesota currently. Gene Dornick, what do you view as the state government's role on abortion going forward?
Well, I'm pro-life. I've never shied away from that. I've been blessed with 12 children, was there for every one of their births. So what an amazing gift that was given to me and our family, or to us, my wife and I. With that being said, the Supreme Court of Minnesota has ruled way back in 1995, the Doe versus Gomez, and it is codified. So it is a constitutional done. So I, as a legislator, cannot, my vote means nothing. So that's where it is. So what I want to focus on is, let's invest and then streamline for adoption. Let's work with crisis pregnancies. Let's be compassionate for these women. That's where I'm at. I'm not, it's already been settled in this state.
Okay. Gene Dornick, thank you. Brandon Lawhead, same question to you. As Gene Dornick just indicated, the issue of abortion currently protected in Minnesota. What do you view as the state government's role on abortion going forward?
Well, I respectfully disagree with Mr. Dornick on the abortion matter. I think that is a woman's right. It is a right to privacy. And I guess we can agree at this point that that the Supreme Court and Gomez is controlling. But I'm looking here at SF number 356, proposed by Mr. Dornick, which seeks to outlaw abortion and which seeks to criminalize it. And I actually think that Mr. Dornick wants to also limit birth control. And these are right to privacies that were decided by the United States Supreme Court in 1965 and 1973, which is Roe v. Wade. By the way, interesting footnote, that was something that was really kind of a Mayo Clinic development by Harry Blackmun, who was the former chief counsel of that. So Mr. Dornick says that, but I've got a bill right in front of me here, SF number 356, where he is expressly, trying to limit that and change that fundamentally and criminalize it.
All right, Brandon Lawhead, Gene, we'll give you a chance to respond and then move on to closing statements.
So those are message bills, and I believe that life begins at conception. And interesting, as an attorney, if you are, if there is a homicide when a woman is pregnant, or a involuntary manslaughter when a woman is pregnant. And there was a case in Rochester in 1990, maybe you should look at it, Mr. Lawhead, and that man was charged for both homicides. So it's an interesting thing. There is a little schizophrenia in our court system. In one point, it is a life at conception, and one, it's not. I am consistent. I believe life begins at conception. I want to protect it what I can, but in this case, The Supreme Court has ruled. I don't have a vote. I can't overturn it. The only way it could be done is through a constitutional amendment that the people would decide. So for me, I don't have a vote. So that's where that stands
okay.
right now.
We'll stay with Eugene Dornick for closing statements. Anything you'd like to address to the voters before they vote if they haven't already?
Well, thank you. It's been great to be here. It's been great to talk about the issues. I've been accused of many things. It's interesting that I have been given a few awards, so I'm just going to talk about myself. I don't like doing it, but some of the things that I've done and the relationships that I've made, because relationships are your currency in the Capitol, and relationships in the your constituents give you the answers, and being able to represent them and knowing what their issues are and how to solve those problems. So I got the first term Legislator of the Year through the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities this year. I also was the Energy Champion, Coalition for Secure Energy Future. I have many endorsement from both, I would say, more Democrat leaning. I'm a union or a carpenter, tradesman. Have many endorsements from the trades, carpenters, laborers, 49ers, and others, endorsed by Minnesota police and peace officers, the Minnesota professional firefighters, Farm Bureau, Second Amendment, very strong Second Amendment, Gun Owner Caucus. So with that, I'm not going to I don't like talking about myself, but that's with relationship. They've seen what I've done for 2 years. They believe in me. They trust me. I have met mayors, city council members, farmers, small business owners throughout the district and talked to them, learned their issues. And I appreciate some of the answers to the problems as we're going through, and also schools, superintendents, some of the bills one of the bill in particular that I brought forth, just talking to, that's what it's about, building relationships and working across the aisle. My colleagues in the Senate across the aisle, I have relationships. I've built relationships. Many of the bills that I had, not all of them, have bipartisan and sometimes tripartisan support. All right. So with that, I appreciate the time. I thank you. I appreciate being able to be your voice and your current state senator. And I always say, maybe I can earn your support again. I'd like to go back. There's much more work to do. I want to be your voice of common sense in St. Paul.
Thank you, Gene Dornick. And Brandon Lawhead, any final thoughts from you, sir?
Yes. What we heard today was quite a bit. What we heard, number one, is that Mr. Dornick talked about reforming public education. And what he means by that is he wants to bring religious ceremony into public education. I think that is a huge mistake. That is SF3679. It's a huge mistake because I don't think Mr. Dornick has thought that through. I'm a Lutheran. I'm assuming he's a Christian. But what about if we're going to have some, you know, radical Taliban Islam that's wanting to do ceremonies in school? I think the schools have enough problems on their own. Let's stick to reading, writing, arithmetic, sports, music, those kinds of things. We don't need that. We don't need that reform. He talks about that he supports public education. I'm glad to hear that. But then I come back to the fact that we are sitting here getting starved on a referendum issue. And he does not deny the fact that on KSMQ, he admitted that he supported everything that was in the surplus bill that was before it. Why didn't you get that done? Either you're not doing it on purpose or you're ineffective. He talks about supporting public education, but his kids are homeschooled. Mine are not. All mine went to public schools. I strongly support the public schools. My wife works there. He doesn't deny that work comp, that he's talked about, you know, cutting that back. How can you be a union guy and go for the working man and not support them when they get injured? And he doesn't deny that birth control, that he wants limits on that as well. So these are issues, and they're radical issues, and these are not the kinds of things that we can have in America and in this state. We're not going to have business. We're not going to grow this economy if we're going to be supporting these issues. And again, I brought up the abortion issue, SF number 356, that he proposed. That's a big problem. Look what happened in Indiana when they passed their anti-abortion laws. Eli Lilly said, that's it. we're not going to be expanding any here anymore. So you want a better economy, you better get socially liberal on these issues, which is where corporate America's at.
All right, Brandon Lawhead, I will give you, Gene Dornick, a chance to respond. And for the sake of my kindergartner, who needs to get off the bus in about 6 minutes, if we could keep it as brief as possible. But go ahead, sir.
I think you can see the difference. A lot of accusations. As an attorney, you would think he'd want to be more factual. So some of the issues, I'm not sure what he's talking about. So I'm not even going to go there. I trust the voters. I thank you for your time. Thank you, Mr. Lawhead. But I'm not going to. I talked about myself, the issues, what I can do, and what I will continue to do. Not about attacking and accusing, but what I've done and what will I do, and I will continue to do that. So thank you.
Okay. Both of you gentlemen, thank you for a spirited conversation. One of you will be the next senator from our district, and Gene Dornick and Brandon Lawhead, thank you both for taking part in our forum here at KUS.
Thank you.
You'll be able to find the audio from all of our forums on our website at myaustinminnesota.com. Special thanks to Jason Brandt for his work with the forum this week as well. And thanks to you for listening. If you haven't already done so, exercise that constitutional right that we all have to vote on November 8th.